This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to That Peter Crouch Podcast with me, Peter Crouch. I've got Chris Stark with me. Where's Sids?
I mean, it feels a bit of a madness this today, doesn't it? So no Steve Sidwell, he's on holiday. I'm not with you because you're on holiday. I'm technically on holiday, but I'm in England at my house and it's pissing down with rain. So tell me, how's your setup?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I'd kind of had to break away from a lunch that I was having to obviously record, which I'm more than happy to do because I love doing this. But yeah, just sitting there with Jermaine Genius's family actually, and they're having a lovely time. Left them on the beach. I shudder to think what kind of state everyone's going to be in when I get back. But here I am.
Yeah, so is Jermaine there as well? You couldn't tempt him in as a substitute for Sid?
He said to me, more than happy to come in, more than happy to step in. But the only stipulation was we had to bring the entire laptop, the camera, microphone to the beach. And unfortunately, it wasn't an option.
That would have been nice. Yeah, it would have been a good one. And how's your week been, Crouchy? I feel like every time I catch up with you at the moment, it's just about your antics on holiday.
Unfortunately, that's where we are at the moment. I don't know if you noticed, but obviously, if you're watching this, you will notice. But I shaved my beard off right the other day, yesterday. Usually I use clippers, but I've bicked myself to death by the looks of it. Yeah. I don't know. Listen, Gillette, if you'd like to get involved, obviously I see Raheem Sterling on all the ads, but I am available. It made me look like so. I haven't seen my mouth for about 20 years.
Well, then surely we should be in for that old Bic pound, shouldn't we? I actually met one of the sons of Bic not too long ago at something. Yeah, it was a really, really weird experience. And it's the kind of thing that I look back now and I wonder if they were lying. If someone says a job, but it's one of those made up jobs. So sometimes if you're out in the pool, you make up a job just to have a better success.
Yeah, like a dolphin trainer.
If you say
trainer.
That you are the grandson of the Bic dynasty off of pens and razors, it's the kind of thing no one can question.
But do the razor people do the pens? Is that a thing?
Well, it's Bic. So Bic is a biro, right? Unless I'm mistaken. The Bic pens are the biros.
Yeah, I know the biro.
They're also the single razors, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I just assumed that there was two Bic companies. But I mean, that's absolutely blowing my mind. Are you telling me now here now that the biro people, the same people that shave your face?
Well, I don't know. But the guy when I met son of Bic, or grandson of Bic, whatever it was, his first thing was like, yeah, my family make pens, not razors.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But that's mad, isn't it?
Well, it's just, I mean, that's something that we really, really need to dig into because, I mean, I just assumed they were two different, because it's two mad fields to be in, isn't it? Writing,
yeah, totally.
And shaving.
Yeah. So look, bit of a weird Friday podcast, this one. They've actually bought some cameras and a bit of a rig round to my house. You're on holiday, wherever you are, Pete. I think you're in the Middle East somewhere. And Sids, I don't know where Sids is.
Chris, I believe you have a voice note. I've not listened to this yet, but I believe you have a voice note explaining the hell Sids is gone.
Hmm.
Hey lads, Notorious here. Just checking in, leaving a voice note, a genuine voice note now. It's, the last one was a sick note, but this is a genuine voice note. Sorry about the background noise there, these waves. They're just coming in, just caressing my toes while I'm walking down the sandy beach. The weather's great, Crouchy, before you know, it's mid-30s every day. Sun, beautiful. So I've got the Peter Crouch effect. So regarding last weekend, well, what a bad weekend. In the famous words of Steve Sidwell, It was Pony, wasn't it? It was. We are bringing this podcast into serious consideration here when we carry this one on. But I did get a few points, so it's just kept me at arm's length now, away from the big man. I'll hit you with my predictions in a bit.
Right. Okay. Right. So he really has got the seat all over his feet there. I can hear it lapping the sand. I cannot believe what happened to me last weekend. Obviously, the scores from last weekend were Brentford versus Manchester United 1-1, Newcastle West Ham was 4-3, and Man City Arsenal. We just didn't see that coming. We had lots of goals in that one, and it was 0-0. What killed me was the Newcastle game. Obviously, we had the double points. Paddy Power double points, and Sid's nicked the correct score in the last minute. Harvey Barnes scored in the 90th to make Newcastle 4-3. I had the draw, so I was ready for the 2 point, and then it happened again, 90th minute.
Hell of a game.
Incredible game, yeah. I just wanted a draw, and it didn't happen for me.
Yeah, it's been a tricky week for you, because obviously you played your Paddy Power boost. And I think with that, I mean, I sensed a bit of a vibe from you when you joined this call here to do the podcast. I couldn't tell if you were pissed off just because you've been removed from your, what I imagine is quite an extravagant Dubai lunch, or if it's because you're going to have to explain away the fact that you've done your Paddy Power boost, which would have enabled you to have double points on everything. There was 18 points, 369, I'm doing the maths here, 18 points available to you, and you've come out with nothing off this week, P. It's huge.
It is very, very big. I can't believe it, to be honest. But I'm like, this is the difference. It's like, you know, I'm 3 minutes away from a double pointer there, and that puts you both on 14 and me on 11. So I am languishing. So I need a big week this week.
Yeah, currently bottom of the table. Just on that Newcastle West Ham game, I didn't watch it expecting game of the season, but it's definitely up there.
It really was. That's the thing, you never know what, like, it just feels like every game just throwing up like big scores, big results, and great entertainment. So yeah, great game to watch, great game to be involved, and obviously the games are on slightly later here, so I am watching them slightly glassy-eyed at times.
Yeah, the best way. Also, you got a bit of heat out there, right? So there's something quite nice about watching the games outdoors, nice little bar that's outside, I'm sure, shorts on, that kind of thing. You're almost ahead on summer as compared to the rest of us here in England.
Yeah, no, without doubt. Listen, it's a nice place to watch football after your dinner. There's lots of stuff that happened. Obviously, you know, Everton slumped to another defeat. And I thought Ramsdale, another thing, a few rumours. He's a friend of the pod. Rumours of a potential lifeline at Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, interesting couple of things you're saying there. Yeah, Everton with a defeat over the weekend, obviously got a draw earlier in the week. They're in an interesting position, obviously, around the points. This stuff around Ramsdale is, I don't know, man. Do you think that's the right move for him? Because I can see that. And obviously the issues around Pope, it feels like that's a kind of natural move that would happen. I thought this had kind of gone away, and it's all sort of flared up again, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, it's obvious that, you know, he's playing second fiddle now, and I think that move would be, I think it'd be brilliant for him. But I mean, why would Arsenal do that when they're in title race at the moment? I couldn't see that happening. You know, maybe at the end of the season, you know, he might want to go out and play, but then will Pope be back fit? Lots of question marks with that one.
Yeah. And before we get into the predictions for this weekend's football, and there's some great football ahead, isn't there? Got to give an honorary shout out to Ipswich as well. I don't know if you saw that when you were away on holiday, Pete. The Ipswich Southampton game, just phenomenal. Last minute goal. It's all looking very, very exciting in the Championship at the moment.
Yeah, I also do have to give a shout out to my old club, Portsmouth, going great guns, obviously, in League One. There's 30 of them out here the other night, doing football escapes is what I'm doing here. And they were all so excited for the game, obviously, against Derby. They were saying to me, look, we win that, I reckon we're home and dry. It ended up being, obviously, it was 2-1 to Derby for a long period. And they got it back to 2-2. So it was a decent result. They'll be over the moon. And it would be great to have Portsmouth back in the Championship. And I think it could happen. It will happen.
Yeah, too right. And I can see the excitement on your face there. Is there anything in the rumours that Peter Crouch might be interested in a move back to Portsmouth as part of the new setup?
Listen, anytime Big Kev, Kit, the kit man, wants to give me a call, he's got my number. Old Bazza is one of my pal as well. Yeah, give me a call. Love to be part of the setup. Let's get us back in the Premier League.
Huge. You heard it here first. Peter Crouch joining Pompey. That's what the fans want to hear, right? Well, let us know. I was at the Watford-Leeds game, which was one of my favourite games of the season so far. It was a 2-2 draw. Could have won it. Frustrating that we let it go. But it was so good to see Elton John there. And there's something quite special about Elton John entering into the stadium to sit down at his seat as your song is playing, which is the new, well, relatively new pre-match ritual with Watford. Watford were slightly parched despite the 2-2 draw, Pete. They still they played I'm Still Standing after the match, your song before. You know, they had to let everyone know that he was in the house. But something so special about having Elton John as a Watford fan, right? And being there in the stadium at the same time he's there to watch a game.
Again, you know, friend of the pod, been on the podcast. What a man. You know, obviously, we love Elton's music. But, you know, when we met him, we did that podcast, and you're just thinking, like this is a man so knowledgeable and so passionate about football. You kind of want him to do well, and you want his club to do well. Inadvertently, your club do well.
Yeah, there's just something so astonishing about when he entered the ground. I was sat with my best mate, and I said to him, do you know what, that guy there, he's earned the right and he's earned the money to be able to be anywhere he wants in the world, doing absolutely anything he wants to do at any time. Yet he chooses to come to Vicarage Road for Watford Leeds with the family and get stuck in with a championship team that, you know, let's be honest, isn't having the greatest of all seasons in sort of mid-table. But that's what he does of his Easter weekend.
I do love that. And do you know what? Like, I've had the privilege of getting his email, and he responds like emails like he does texts. And I remember being in Portugal in the summer, and we were playing loads of his tunes and having a dance and having a drink. And I emailed him a picture of us dancing to his song, and emailed straight back and said, oh, that's amazing. Like, love from Nice. You know, so he's obviously out in Nice in the south of France, but he took the time to kind of email back straight away. And he could have been at Nice,
so good.
But instead he was at Vicarage Road. What a man.
Oh, that sounds class though. I love that he replies to you straight away. I've heard this before, that he's one of those email only people. I think Ed Sheeran's adopted that as well.
Yeah, no phones. You know what I mean? It's like don't call me. I'll get back to you when I can.
Do you think you're going to head down that way, Pete? Email only?
I'd like to go no mail only. I don't know. The thought of not having a phone, it's really, really appealing. I feel like it's...
Yeah.
You're always on, aren't you? Whereas if you just didn't have a phone, imagine the life you'd have.
Yeah, but you're a busy guy as well, because the thing is, I know that you personally reply to every email that comes into this podcast, peter.crouch@acast.com. If you do want to get in touch, and you do sometimes have to allow yourself a bit of time, don't you?
Only this email, only that Peter Crouch. It's the only one I reply to.
But speaking of celebrity fans, it got me thinking. There's some great ones that are sort of doing the rounds at the moment. And me and producer George were just discussing this. Did you know that Snoop Dogg is a Burnley fan?
I feel like Snoop Dogg might be pimping himself out a bit, because I've seen him in a few shirts.
Mate, I interviewed him in a Norwich shirt once.
Yeah, I'm dubious. I mean, there's Sugar. I saw Sugar Ray Leonard in the Stoke program in a Stoke shirt once, and I was slightly slightly dubious of that. Along with Busta Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes, a Stoke fan.
Well, he had the shirt on in the program. You know, don't quote me on it, but I've heard Busta's all over it.
A lot of these celebrities are just complete and utter sluts to football teams, aren't they? You're right, they're loose, and they get all the noise about, especially if they're touring and they're in a certain town or a certain city and they get involved in the football club. But I think it would be good to just get some clarity on exactly who they support and stick to one team, because I don't think you should be allowed to float around. Doesn't matter if you're a mega star, if you're a pop star, I think you should have to choose one team.
Yeah, well, I've got,
and we're looking at you, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I've got my suspicions on Sylvester Stallone at Everton and Tom Hanks at Aston Villa. I saw Tom Hanks at Aston Villa, and I did actually have a little chat with him on the side of the pitch, believe it or not. And I don't know how much he kind of knew, but you know, he did claim to be a big Villa fan.
Well, where do you stand on this, Crouchy? So I've got here Barack Obama, West Ham.
Barack Obama's a he's a hammer, is he?
Apparently so, yeah. Yeah, because I was thinking Ray Winstone, right? He basically is a human embodiment of West Ham.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He looks like West Ham, doesn't he?
Mm, yeah, you know, Danny Dyer again.
Danny Dyer, West Ham. Yeah.
Barack Obama does, I don't know, it doesn't strike me as a hammer, but you know, it's one of those, like, if I'm playing a gig and I'm a musician and I'm in Kansas, you know, I don't know, I'll have a Chiefs American football shirt on, you know, and they'll throw it on me and the crowd will love it. And then I'll go home and go, what the fuck was all that about?
I think it would be good for us to establish exactly who and who isn't a fan. There's some great celebrity ones here. Some of them really match as well. You know where the football club matches the celebrity? I think this is a good one. Margot Robbie in Fulham.
Yeah, I get that. She's in the area. She's been invited.
Bang on,
isn't it? Yeah, I get that. I can see that. Margot Robbie at Fulham, no problem.
Well, let us know. Get in touch with the podcast if you if there is a particular name that you can definitely claim is a fan of your football club. I think it's really important here that, as Crouchy's saying, they are actually fans and not just sort of throwing themselves around a number of football clubs. I think it's quite good when they're actually proud and sort of being an ambassador for the football club when they're promoting their movie on the other side of the world, for example.
Yeah, well, that was the same with Niall Horan when he came on the podcast. Amazing having Niall on. But, you know, I didn't realise, you know, he's going to away games at Derby County, home games. Like, he's a huge fan, been a fan all his life.
Yeah.
And that is a proper celebrity fan of a football club. And, you know, everyone at Derby knows that he's a fan and he knows everything about the club. So that's a proper one for me.
Yeah, let us know, because also some of these people could be great guests on the podcast, especially if they're kind of surprising fans. I actually didn't know the Margot Robbie one about Fulham, but it suddenly gives us a reason to get Margot Robbie on the podcast. So I'm buzzing. Right, should we get into the predictions?
Yeah, a bit of a disclaimer here. Some of the midweek games we are going to miss out on at the time of recording. We don't know the results of those, so we're going off pretty much the weekend. But we're getting into some big games and nothing bigger than this one. The next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power and their big weekend fixture. This is Manchester United versus Liverpool. Again, another cracker.
Yeah, well, this one is at Old Trafford, of course. And going there as a Liverpool team, I mean, it's an incredible rivalry between these two teams that sort of turn this game into not just important in the Premier League, but it almost feels... Every time these teams play, it's almost like a cup final in its own right.
Well, it 100% is. For me, it's the biggest fixture in English football. Two of the best sides historically playing against each other. Liverpool go into it favourites, 8 to 11, £10 gets you 17, 27 return. United, 14 to 5, £10, 38 back. We can see from the odds there, Liverpool going into the game big favourites. United probably struggling in sixth, and Liverpool battling in a three horse race with City and Arsenal. So I think my result will reflect that. But I think we should play Sids as first for a bit of.
Yeah, do you want to do 100%. That? I suppose we got the power to be able to do that.
Wow,
today,
listen, if he's going to be in the Maldives, he can have his one going out first.
Let's see what Sid said.
Okay, the big one, Man United versus Liverpool. It was a thriller, wasn't it, a few weeks ago in the FA Cup, goals galore. I just probably go with you guys on this, I'm sure. I see Liverpool being too strong. It really is this time of the season now where the big boys step up, and I think they're going to put the pedal down Liverpool. So I can't see anything other than a Liverpool win. I'm going to go for 3-1, guys. 3-1, Liverpool away win at Old Trafford.
Oh, I'm not just saying it, Crouchy. That's exactly the score I've gone for as well.
I don't know. I think it'd be slightly tighter. I think United probably be buoyed after the FA Cup win. I think they were fantastic in that. Well, Liverpool kind of outplayed them, but they hug in there and got the result. I think I've gone for 2-1 Liverpool.
Have you? Do you know, I'm going to switch up my score then. only because there's been so little points that us three have managed to get in the last couple of weeks that I think one of us needs to go against the grain here. It's Old Trafford. It's a huge game in its own right, despite the sort of the league implications. I'm sure United fans want to shit all over Liverpool. I guess they're in this interesting position as well with that top three, where you're once again a Man United fan having to decide whether you want City or Liverpool to potentially win the league. If you're a United fan, what do you go with there?
Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mate, I'm going to switch my score up. I'm going to go United 2, Liverpool 1.
You're the luxury being 3 points ahead of being able to do that.
I'm a bit ahead, and actually, why not? Why not go the other way with it?
Why not?
United 2, Liverpool 1.
All right.
There's going to be goals, though, surely. I mean, all the stats that we've got in front of us here suggest that it's going to be lots of goals.
Yeah, certainly. Certainly, I think there'll be goals. Odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly. Should we fire into Luton versus Bournemouth? Big game down at the other end of the table.
Well, how do you predict this?
Well, I just think with the way kind of both teams play at the moment, this is so difficult to predict. I don't know where we're going. Let's listen to Sid.
Right, boys, Luton versus Bournemouth. Another tricky game. Tight games, this. Luton, they need a win desperately, don't they? They've got to keep up with the pack in front of them because they are losing a little bit of ground. They are at home. They have got that advantage. Bournemouth, mid-table, surprising a few, going about their business. So they're nicking results here and there. This is a tough one. Sorry about the noise. Change of location. I've just gone to the beach bar to get a drink. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you.
Ricardo.
I'm going to go with a Bournemouth away win here. I'm going to go 2-0 to Bournemouth. 2-0 Bournemouth away win against Luton.
Wow. 2-0 Bournemouth.
Cool. I feel like we could get a few different scores here.
Why is it when I hear Sid's like that as well, I sort of imagine that he's at a hotel ran by ex-footballers.
Do you?
Yeah. Manning the bar there, Ricardo.
Ricardo. He's living the dream, isn't he, out there? Oh, my God. I wonder how many puddings he's had this week.
No, puddings will be massive. It looks like he's having a lovely time on his Instagram anyway. Fair play. Deserves it. So he's gone for a Bournemouth win. I think this is so tight to call. I'd be interested to know what you're going for.
Yeah, this is probably off the wall, really, because in the last five games in all competitions, Luton have 2 draws and 3 losses. But I think they score goals. I think at home, they're buoyed. They've got a chance to stay up. I'm siding towards Luton. And I've gone with Luton 2-1.
It's tricky because the way it was described to me was Luton have scored so many goals that they shouldn't be in the position that they're in. But defensively, obviously, have been leaky as. And Bournemouth aren't dissimilar. Are you going... What have you gone for, Crouchy? 2-1 win.
2-1 Luton.
2-1 Luton. I'm going to go Luton 1, Bournemouth 1.
I thought you might go for the draw.
I've gone for the draw. To be fair, I think both these teams, they cancel each other out potentially. I do think Luton, home advantage. I sort of err on the side of you rather than Sid's in this one, Crouchy. But I've gone for a draw. But once again, it's another game where we've all got different results here. So the integrity of the pod hopefully stays in play.
But it does stay alive because 1 point... It seems to keep the integrity of the podcast alive, even if you get 1 point. All right.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Sheffield United, Chelsea.
Sheffield United, Chelsea. Chelsea again, so disappointing, really, to draw against Burnley. Cole Palmer again on the double. Sheffield United again, I saw, so disappointed from them. It feels like I've been there with Sheffield United. I've been there in that situation where you are winning games and you end up drawing or losing. And unfortunately, that usually spells relegation. It's been, defensively awful, I think. Conceded 77 goals this season, just keeping one clean sheet. Chelsea 11th in the Premier League. They have 11 wins, but they're on 40 points at the moment, and it could have been so much better for them. They give away so many leads. As they did again on the weekend, but I think they've got too much for Sheffield United. And let's listen to Sid's.
Right, boys, Sheffield United versus Chelsea. Sheffield United, what can you say? They've had a shocker this year, haven't they? Not got going at all. They're just obviously resigned to going down now. I think they've still got a group of lads that will give it their all to the end of the season, but it's not been good showing for them. Chelsea, what can you say as well? They've not been putting up trees. You just don't know what Chelsea side's going to turn up, do we? I think there's going to be chances created in this game. I see Chelsea winning this, so I'm going to go for a Chelsea win, and I'm going to say it's going to be 1-0 Chelsea. They're going to just scrape it, a 1-0 win against Sheffield United.
Oh, Crouchy?
Yeah, obviously at the time of recording, we don't know what's happened in the Chelsea-Manchester United game, which will be a big game on Thursday. Obviously, that'll be a tough game. But I think they could potentially come unstuck against Manchester United. Obviously, we don't know what's happened there. But I think they're comfortable against Sheffield United. I don't think it's comfortable, but I do think they get a comfortable result. I think they win 2-0 against Sheffield United.
Mm. I've gone 2-0 as well, Crouchy. So I'm tempted to just make it a slightly different offering here. I'm going to go 3-0. Chelsea 3, Sheffield United 0. And what I'm going to do, Crouchy, on all my results today, because I've got it in the pocket, I'm doubling down. I'm going for the Paddy Power booster, please.
That makes me feel ill.
I'm going for it. I'm going to throw it down on this one, mate. So double points on every game.
Right, so
if it comes good.
I was going to go for the other Paddy Power boost, right, and ring Jermaine Genus, who I've just left.
Can you?
Well, I was thinking about doing it, but then I saw him order another bottle of wine. So I've decided against doing that this week.
Fair enough. Okay, so you're going to keep that back. I've got to say, I think you boys, despite Sid's getting 2 points from the last weekend's results, you haven't played your Paddy Power boost there particularly well.
No.
Bear in mind there was double point. Even Sid's, to get 2 points from that isn't a great result, despite what he's saying.
No, it was an absolute disgrace, Chris. And it was absolute embarrassment. But here we are. I'm now scrambling for points and I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I just need to not do this fucking forfeit.
But it doesn't matter because you're on holiday.
Exactly.
So
right.
I'd far rather play this now whilst you're away from me and relaxed and somewhere else. But yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the Paddy Power boost this week. Double points up for grabs. So this could be massive for the league table if it comes good. I'm so excited about this weekend's football.
Right. Okay, let's move on. I've got a few shirts and messages. This one I've seen. I think it was actually sent in for you, Chris. I saw this from the Liverpool game the other week. It was a lino, and on his boots is printed Ledge. So he's got blacked out boots here, and obviously this has been sent in. I'm not sure. There's no name attached actually, but at the end of it says, "What a cock."
There's a little England flag on there as well, which hasn't been hasn't had the playful design adaptation on it. It's just a straight up England fan. But you're right, on a referee's boot, is that on a lino's boot? Ledge.
I don't know. Even on a player, if I lined up with a player who had Ledge on his boots, I don't know. I feel like it might be something that he says. I don't think he thinks he's a legend. I think it might be something that he potentially says. You know, when kind of, you know, Mark Hulsey comes over, you know, and says, "Should we go out tonight?" And he goes, "Yeah, Ledge." I mean, think it's along those.
Either way, it's not good, and it's a very bold move that's printed on the boot.
Very bold.
I'm struggling to work out exactly what those boots are because it's a bit of a grainy pick, and it's and the boots are very dirty. I don't know. Maybe this has been sent to me because whenever I've got a bored moment in the Watford game, I zoom in on the line person's shoes to see exactly what boots they're wearing, and then whack it up on Instagram as a kind of weekly thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to kind of keep everyone aware of what linos are wearing on the side.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, it is nice to know what the fashion is on the linos these days. But Ledge seems very bold. Not something that I particularly condone.
Yeah, instead of Crime Watch, it's like a boot watch kind of thing because it is getting a bit out of hand. And now they're printing Ledge and a little England flag on there. Not a problem with the England flag, but I think the ledge thing does seem a little bit far.
Crouchy,
the other thing I've got to bring up for you, I saw at the football, you know when the referee gets in the way of play?
Yes.
And the crowd always boo. It's always quite a fun experience because it's just a reason for the crowd to get really angry for very little reason. But if your team's on the break and then the ball hits the referee, it is awkward, right? But it does slow down the play.
Yes.
Me and my best mate Dougsy were saying, is there a case there that for to kind of, because they, what they then do is they put the ball down and you get to start from there, but you lose your attacking advantage, right? Is there something to be said that actually a fairer way to deal with that would be the referee gets to play for your team for 60 seconds?
The referee gets to play if it hits him. Oh my God.
Yeah, because they just put the ball down, but by the time they've done that, everyone's regrouped defensively. It's almost like, for me, it feels that when the referee restarts the game, he's actually done more favours for the defensive team than he has done the attacking team. And therefore, if he's kind of playing defensively, i.e. the ball's hit him, and, you know, he's defended it for intents and purposes, shouldn't he then have 60 seconds of playing for the attacking team?
I don't know how much of an advantage that is for the attacking team, though. having a ref. I mean, you know, I don't know how good Ledge is, but by the sounds of it, he's having himself. So maybe potentially Ledge could take the ball and carry on. But you know, I don't know. I don't think it would be an advantage for the attacking team having a referee. Having seen a few of the refs play, I don't think it'd be a great advantage.
Yeah, you raise a good point there. I don't think I've ever seen a referee actually play football.
There is a reason they are referees.
Any other messages for this week's pod?
Yeah, there is. I've got one here. Hi, Crouchy, Sid, BBQC. Me and my mates recently went to Tenerife to watch the Cheltenham races. One night we stumbled across a bar and set about having a few beers in there. After about 10 minutes, I looked to my left and saw this football shirt, which for me can only be pronounced as Potato 16 on the back of an Arsenal top. But 10 minutes later, to top it off, Potato goes up to the man in charge of the music, takes the mic off him, then proceeds to call his missus up on the dance floor, then get down on one knee and proposed to what can only be described as Mrs. Potato to be. Me and my mates were gobsmacked and left the bar swiftly. This is from Liam.
Yeah, he's taken a picture of the guys as well. Well, firstly, we should say congratulations on the proposal. You know, it's lovely that obviously that bar in Tenerife means a lot to them. The idea that you are able to propose wearing a football shirt, despite the fact it says potato on the back of it, is phenomenal. I mean, how massive is that to propose wearing a football shirt of the team that you love?
Well, yeah, I mean, in this photo here, his missus is also wearing what looks like an Arsenal shirt. So she seems very much into it, into the full kit situation. I have no idea why he's got potato on his back. I mean, his head, I was thinking his head, look, does that look potato-like? But it doesn't particularly, not...
No, exactly. It must be a nickname for some reason, but I really hope they follow through with this and then get married in the Arsenal kits as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never heard of that happening either. I've never heard of a marriage where both people are in the full kits. I'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it. Do you know what else I'd like to see? We haven't seen recently is a few more signings. You know, if you are getting married, you know, if you could send us in a few of the signing pics with you or potentially your best man just behind you, like Florentino Perez just behind, as if you're making a fantastic signing for life. That'd be more, because I'd like to see more of those.
It's especially when you've got to sign the marriage certificate, that little awkward bit of any wedding. The second you do that, then, you know, maybe do a little handshake. Ideally have a shirt made that you can put in the middle. And as Crouchy says, do the full signing video. That'd be great. Also, big respect to those guys for going, the way they put it, they recently went to Tenerife to watch the Cheltenham races. I've heard of people doing this, that you actually go on holiday just to watch the Cheltenham races.
Sounds absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
it's very busy at Cheltenham. Get yourself away on holiday. You know, few people, good group of friends. Watch the races, enjoy it. So it sounds very good to me. And good luck to Mr. and Mrs. Potato.
Yeah, yeah. Please let us know if you do know Mr. and Mrs. Potato and can give us a few more details about that, or get them in touch with us, because it would be lovely to kind of involve them in the podcast here. Clearly big Arsenal fans, and maybe we can do something special for Mr. and Mrs. Potato's wedding.
Right. Okay. I feel like we should end this, Chris, with a Susie Dent message, because these have become a signature of this Friday podcast. And I love the fact that she so eloquently explains footballing terms for us. Have you got one?
Hi, team. Well, I thought this week I would choose an expression that you suggested, actually, over the last couple of weeks, of one of your brilliant suggestions. And that's daisy cutter. And this one has had a bit of a checkered past, some of it quite dark. So it's beginning to take us back to the late 1700s, when a daisy cutter was a horse that, when it trotted, lifted its feet only slightly off the ground. So it ran the risk of slicing the heads off real flowers on the grass. So it literally was a cutter of daisies. Then by the 1850s, a daisy cutter was a ball in cricket or baseball that was bowled or batted so that it skimmed along the surface of the ground. So again, the idea was of a close shave, this time with the playing field. And that's, of course, where it's ended up with football too more recently. So far, so easy. But a little bit later, the darker side of the term began to emerge, really during the First World War. And the memoir of Lieutenant Jack Wilkinson describes an attack on the RAF airfield at the Somme and writes of a bomb that seemed to explode before it buried itself in the ground, so that bits and pieces flew horizontally in all directions. And this, he wrote, was a daisy cutter, so named because it explodes just above ground level. Thankfully, for most of us these days, a daisy cutter is a shot in football that slips and skims across the surface of the pitch. And hopefully no daisies or anything else are ever harmed in the making of it. And while I'm at it, I have to tell you the origin of daisy, as I bore the Countdown crew with it whenever it comes up. So the daisy in Old English was day's eye. And it is called the day's eye because this is a flower that opens its petals at dawn to reveal that central sunny disc, the yellow disc inside, and it closes its petals again at dusk. It is the eye of the day, the day's eye. I think that's beautiful.
God, that was lovely.
Well, it really is beautiful, isn't it? I mean, that's absolutely stunning. Daisy cutter was obviously, very similar to how she explained it there. I remember Sid was very good at daisy cutter. He was good at like switching the play, pinging it out along the ground, but like just hovering above the grass. And I think it isn't.
How do you do that? Do you have to kind of wrap your foot around it?
Very much, kind of like on the side. So you come on it from the side, and it's a laces kind of pass. Steven Gerrard, top drawer in it, Xavi Alonso. You know, when you haven't got someone to get over, you could hit a 50, 60 yard pass, pinged along the four. You know, the quickest way of getting there, just above the ground. A beautiful looking pass, I would describe as a daisy car. And Susie obviously came to that perfect world there.
All right, yeah. So apologies, everyone. Everyone's in different bits of the world and all that kind of thing. We'll be back to normal next Friday. And enjoy the weekend. All right, nice one. Well, Chumbawamba.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
This episode is brought to you by aloadofpricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. Three different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, what can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us. Then I told her, let's go to aloadofpricks.net.
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to aloadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, load of pricks.net.